The impetus to change Africa's constitutions can be traced to both grassroots pressure and to international politics. Many African countries gained independence in the 1960s, and their constitutions were set up with the help of the former colonial powers. In the 1970s, many African countries alternated between military governments and one-party systems. Constitutional experts say the most recent era of change came after the fall of the Berlin Wall in 1989 and the collapse of the Soviet Union in 1991. Professor Yash Agai of the Nairobi-based Katiba, or Constitution Institute, says the demise of the communist power bloc meant the end of Western support for anti-communist and anti-democratic leaders in Africa in what had been a proxy war. He says that helped bring an end to the 24-year rule of Kenya's Daniel Arap Moi in 2002.
With the end of the Cold War, America became quite a champion of democracy, and the civil society in Kenya was able to work with the American embassy, who were in a good position to put pressure on President Moi. So in a way, the interests of the West and of Kenyans coalesced.
But some new constitutions are also the result of domestic politics. That includes an end to conflict, as in the end of apartheid in South Africa in 1994. South Sudan plans to revise an interim constitution enacted as part of a peace agreement with the Republic of Sudan signed in 2005. Usually, these and other new constitutions are reached through a series of negotiations and constitutional assemblies or commissions that include all segments of society, including opposition groups. The draft is debated in public, and a final version is often submitted for approval in a referendum. Other countries simply amend older constitutions over time. In Tanzania, opposition politicians are reviewing their independence constitution, which originally supported a single-party state, but was modified over the years to include multi-party democracy. Charles Fumbad is a member of the African Network of Constitutional Lawyers and a professor of comparative constitutional law at the University of Pretoria in South Africa.
So now the Tanzanian authorities said, well, in the 1990s, most countries actually took a radical revision of their constitution. We did not do it. It is time now for us to actually look at all the provisions that in the Constitution, because there have been piecemeal changes. And sometimes the disadvantage of these piecemeal changes is that the Constitution might lose its coherence. But now they are taking the opportunity to change it in such a way that every provision is looked at to ensure that there is no incoherence.
Experts say not all social and political reforms need to be added to a constitution. But Fombad says it is critical that the foundation for reforms be laid down in the constitution so as to create a legally enforceable obligation that must be respected. Typical examples of this are women's rights and land tenure.
There are countries where they've had very serious issues with land tenure. A typical example is South Africa, Zimbabwe, and even Kenya. These things that were inherited during the apartheid days or during the colonial period. And the constitutions that are in place were drafted in such a manner that the land rights of those who had acquired those lands during those days were protected and were entrenched. You cannot change the policy without actually changing the constitution.
Often, as in many African countries, the power to introduce legislation to alter the documents lies with the president or parliament. Critics say this typically has resulted in the rollback of constitutional provisions limiting the head of state to 2 terms. In many cases, African leaders have also diluted the impartiality of the courts and independent organizations created in part to act as watchdogs on the government. Reiner Grote is a senior research fellow at the Max Planck Institute for Comparative Public Law and International Law in Heidelberg. He says that was the case in Kenya 5 years ago, when under the old constitution, President Mwai Kibaki appointed all members of what was meant to be an independent body, the Electoral Commission.
When the last elections in December 2007 took place, the Electoral Commission was quick to confirm that President Kibaki had been re-elected. And everybody else, the opposition parties, but also large parts of the international community, viewed this election as rigged. Now, can you really expect members of an electoral commission who owe their appointment to the president to be independently minded when it comes to the survival of that very president in his office?
Similar situations occur in countries where one party dominates the presidency, the parliament, and the judiciary, thus curtailing a system of checks and balances. But African Democrats are learning from their mistakes. Some countries have borrowed from the South African example of holding the government accountable to a constitutional court that can hear complaints and rule against government policies. Changes to the Constitution require a two-thirds majority of the National Assembly and the support of a majority of the provinces. Guy says in Kenya, Chapter 16 of the country's 2010 Constitution allows citizens to initiate reforms as long as they do not affect key issues such as the supremacy of the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, and the terms of the president or the territory of the country.
Normally, the initiative for change, constitution change, is with the government or with parliament. But in Kenya, we have now established, as an alternative to government, introducing amendment proposals that people can also do so. They had to get a certain number of signatures to trigger off the process. But it is possible for people themselves, through petitions signed by a lot of people, to initiate the process of amendment. It could end with a referendum, or it could be presented to parliament.
Political scientists say a constitution should not be too easy to change. Otherwise, they say, it would be difficult for democratic institutions to develop, and the document could lose public support. They say that makes it all the more important to take time to develop an open and inclusive process for creating a constitution that can evolve over time. I'm William Eagle in Washington.